It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Couple things going on. We've got the Building One stuff. We'll talk about that during announcements and all that kind of stuff. Make sure that if you've been praying about commitment cards and all that, maybe drop that in offering today. Those are only for just for you to be able to have something to pray over and thinking about that. And thinking about that commitment, and for us to help gauge kind of where we are, and we are not interested in following up on people whether or not they actually do them or not. So that, technically, you could go, "Yeah, I'll give you $1 million," but yeah, that's just to help you guys, and hopefully that'll even make sense even more as we're talking about what we're talking about today. We've got. We're going back to Sermon on the Mount today. In fact, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get your Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and they've got Bibles, and they will give you one. In fact, if you don't own a Bible, we want you to keep that one and take it. It's a gift. And if you don't have one with you, just borrow it and read along with us. We're going to Matthew chapter 7 today. Matthew chapter 7. And we've been studying through Sermon on the Mount this year, and we're coming back to that finally to finish up the last chapter, chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. And as we've been going through this thing, I was thinking on it last night, kind of coming back to this. You know, one of the things that's important when we're reading Scripture together is that we would look at Scripture in light of what else is going on in Scripture around it, that we would read it in context. And it's real easy sometimes to take a passage and, you know, and just kind of take it out of context, make it what we want it to be kind of thing. And we don't want to do that. We want to be faithful to God's word and what he's instructing us to do. And so sometimes that means understanding what's going on around it a little more. And with Sermon on the Mount, that's definitely the case. With this particular passage that we're even studying today, this comes on the heels of Jesus already teaching what we have in chapters 5 and 6. Chapters 5 through 7 are Sermon on the Mount. We're teaching the last chapter, beginning that today. And so in doing so, you got to remember, Jesus has been teaching these people in one setting, and we're coming and we're looking at it in small increments and going, what's Jesus mean here? What's this mean here? What's this about? And so as we're doing that, really important for us is to remember, what did he already teach in that setting? So in that setting, Jesus is talking about a whole lot of stuff, but he starts out, if you remember back, one of the reasons that it took us a while to kind of get through that first chapter Sermon on the Mount is we had the Beatitudes. And we took a week for each Beatitude, praying and seeking the Lord through that. What's this mean? What's this about? And trying to get at least a beginning of an understanding of where Jesus is trying to go with these things. And the very first thing right out of the chute that Jesus talks about is being spiritually bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. So, you know, for us, you know, I know we're used to that word, you know, being with finances and whatnot. The understanding of that would be that we would recognize that we need to go to God needing everything spiritually, needing everything in general. And so that's a broken, humble, a lot of humility, you know, that's a very broken state to be able to approach God in. And so to keep that in mind, this is the state in which Jesus has kind of started this section of Scripture in, this particular teaching that he was doing with these people on this day, and to even remember, who's he talking to? Who's Jesus talking to on this Sermon on the Mount deal? Well, if you've been around, then you've already heard me say this, but Jesus was talking to a bunch of religious folks. A whole bunch of religious folks. And to even give some context to that, a lot of these folks had been not only hearing, but also teaching Scripture incorrectly. They had been teaching things incorrectly. So here comes Jesus, and just all of a sudden, just boom, he comes out of the chute teaching all of these things differently than the way they had been teaching a lot of it. And so a lot of it was kind of corrective, and Jesus knows, he's Jesus, okay? You know, he knows what's going on, so he's teaching them this correct understanding of what some of these things mean, and that's part of why we have Sermon on the Mount. It's for us to have this correct understanding of Scripture in these different contexts, these different areas and things, topics and whatnot. And so Jesus comes to this point, this is chapter 7, and the very beginning of chapter 7, you'll see, is judging others. Well, I'll just make a confession to you. A few weeks ago, I preached about judging others. I referenced this passage and I talked about it a little bit. No, I did not teach through the passage like I normally do, but I just felt like if I did today, you guys would feel like I'm beating a dead horse and it wouldn't be beneficial to the body. So we're kind of jumping over that passage and we're going to this next passage. If you missed the one a few weeks ago, it's on the podcast. You can go listen to it if you want to hear about the judging other stuff. And I had a lot of people talk to me about that message and just what it meant to them, that kind of thing. And I appreciate that. God used it. I'm an idiot. So here's the deal with this passage that we're looking at today. It starts in verse 7. And so if you start in verse 7 of chapter 7, you see this passage that really, in a nutshell, is about prayer. But if you remember, already in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus already taught about prayer. So why is he teaching about prayer again? We have him teaching the Lord's Prayer. This is how to pray. He does that in chapter 6. So he covers that. So why in the world would he come back and talk about prayer again? Well, I think this is why. And I could be completely wrong. But I think that he's doing so because he realizes that the things that he has already taught for those people that were there that day hearing it, and also for us, that we needed what he's going to teach us today through this passage, that we needed it to understand how to go about doing the other things that he was instructing to do. So today is a little bit of a how-to. Today is a little bit of a how to approach God, how to go to him, that kind of thing in prayer. So, and I love this passage of scripture. I've been praying that God would use this in our lives, especially for us collectively as a church, but for us as individuals, and for me personally. So let's look at this. Matthew 7:7 right here. Okay, says this. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We'll just leave that up there for a minute. You know, sometimes we miss the most basic thing. The most basic thing. You ever just think, you know, man, I wish God would do this or that? Well, have you ever asked him? Sometimes we miss the most basic thing. And when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, prayer is an important piece of that. And you may be here today and you may just be able to just honestly say, you know, I struggle with prayer. I'm not good at prayer. I don't pray very much. I realize that I struggle with it. I want to be better, whatever it is. Let me just encourage you. It is one of the greatest things in us growing closer to the Lord. Next to spending time in Scripture, maybe God uses them equally. I don't know. It is an amazing thing. I will say that for me personally, of the spiritual disciplines, I am better. I'm not going to say I'm great. I am better at prayer than I am sometimes at the others. I pray all the time, and it's been over time something that I have developed just out of sometimes making myself, sometimes just being reminded, sometimes just because of having a bad day or whatever it is. But I have created these things in my life, these constants, if you will, in my life where I'm constantly kind of have triggers to go, I need to pray. I pray in the car. I pray in the car all the time. There's probably other people that pray while I'm in the car, I pray in the shower in the mornings when I'm getting ready. One of the things that I just, it's become a thing for me to do. It's a trigger when I get in the shower, begin to pray. Other times of the day, when something's going on, again, a learned thing, I'm still not great at it, but I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better that when something's going on, instead of freaking out, instead of beginning to worry, that I pray. Those are habits that we develop over time. And I think for so many of us, even in our prayers, I think if we're not careful, we're approaching God sometimes for the wrong reason. Sometimes we're not even approaching him and doing what he's asking us to do, which is, Jesus says, to ask and it will be given to you. Now, we just sang a song about this great, mighty, unbelievable, awesome God that we believe is the creator of the universe, that we believe he has a sovereign plan, a will for our lives, all of these things. And isn't it amazing that we'll have need or we want God to do something, but yet sometimes we don't ask? Well, Chris, he already knows. He's God. He already has it all under control. And, you know, if you want to go to like the hyper-Calvinist point of view or whatever, I mean, you know, they're going to, you know, a lot of times they'll just be like, well, God's sovereign. He's going to do his thing. Doesn't matter what I pray or not. Well, that's not true because Scripture tells us it's not true. God does have a plan. He does have a will. Part of it is he wants us to approach him and spend time with him and pray. He wants us to do that. He wants us to spend time with him. He seeks to change our hearts when we spend time with him. And one of the greatest ways in which we will ever spend time with God is in prayer. Ask, and it will be given you. Think about this for just a minute. Think about all the things. If you had two lists, you got this list over here of all the things that you want, you would hope God to do. You know, and it may be a bunch of personal stuff, and it may be like stuff in the world or whatever. Think about it. You've got this whole list of like, here's all the things that I hope God will do. How many of those things on that list over here have you asked him to do? You see, we miss it. Man, we miss it. And it stinks because we're missing getting to tap into something amazing. Ask and it will be given to you. And it says, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You see, Jesus is painting a picture for us. And this picture is a persistent one. It's one that doesn't give up. It's one that has faith, you know? And let me just say this. You could walk away here today and you might go and go, I'm gonna start praying and I'm gonna ask and I'm gonna seek and I'm gonna knock. And I'm gonna take those three things and I'm gonna start doing those three things over and over and over again. And you could go through the motions, okay? You could go through the motions of doing those things. But if you don't have faith to believe that God is hearing you and that he can really do those things, it's pointless. You're just going through the motions. You might as well do something else. Go spend your time doing something. Go make some money or something. Do something else. Faith has to be a part of our prayer. That's a heart issue for us. That's not a going through the motion issue. That's a heart issue for us. Do you really believe? And Jesus is saying, don't just ask, seek. And don't just seek, knock. Why would he have us knock? Why can't we just ask? You ever pray for something and then you don't feel like it gets answered, or it doesn't get answered for a long time and finally it does one day? I think about a lady in our church who prayed for her whole family for a long time. Her whole family to come to know the Lord. And I just got to be there on the day that happened, that actually came to fruition. She had prayed, I'm talking probably 20-something years, for this to happen. Can you imagine praying for something for 20-something years? Let me ask you this question. What are you praying for consistently? What are you asking God to do consistently? Because what Jesus is talking about in seeking and knocking is that we don't give up. We believe and we trust him to be who he says he is, and that if it would be his will, he would do it. Now, we love passages like this. I mean, in fact, all of chapter 7, we were talking about this the other day, all of chapter 7 is full of passages, not just this one, but it's full of passages, that whole chapter, that people take out of context all the time. You know, this is one of those passages, you know, ask and you shall receive, you know? I mean, people know that, you know, well, just ask, you'd ask God, you know? And some of you already are thinking, man, this is good. This is really good. I'm going to start applying this to the lottery tickets that I'm going to start buying. You know, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask God that I will receive off that lottery ticket, right? Well, there are some stipulations. If you look through this passage, we'll come to them. Jesus makes clear that this isn't really just for our sake, that we just pray, that we just ask and receive, and we just get whatever we want. That's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, he clarifies some of it. I want to read verse 8 to you. It says this, For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? So he's gone into the parent mode here. Which one of you who has a son and says, I want bread, would give him a stone? Asks for fish, would give him a serpent? He says this in verse 11, if you then who are evil, he's basically saying, he's separating, hey, I'm God and you're not, you have sin, us, we have sin, we know that. That's a part of our life. If you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So this is the how much better is God than us scenario right here. He's basically saying, hey, you're a sinner, okay? You're a sinner, but yet you will still do whatever you can for your kid. You love your kid. You love your son. If he wants bread, you're going to try to give him bread, not a stone. If he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. You're going to try to give him fish. You're going to try to give him food that he needs to live, to survive. Even as a sinner, you will do that. And then he turns around. Jesus turns this around and he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He is better than we are. He knows what we need. And he wants to give us what? Good things. It says, verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children who are our Father heaven, give good things to those who ask. That's the stipulation. He wants to give good things. So what are good things? I mean, already, like, you're making a list in your head of, like, I know a whole bunch of good things. Like, you know, this is a good thing. I want one of those. And this is a good thing. And that would be nice to have. And, you know, this is... No, listen. Good things to God and good things to us, two different things. He's talking about spiritually what he could give us. I'll just pick one. I'm picking probably one of the easier ones, and that's on purpose, just because I see a lot of people struggle with it, and I had a conversation even with somebody this week about it. And they were being very honest with me. They were just saying, hey, I'll be honest with you, I can't seem to pray right now. I'm struggling with praying right now. I'm like, I feel like I've got a block on. I can't, with everything that's going on in my life right now, I'm in a mess. And we talked about that. And I said to them, you know, Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit will pray when we don't have the words. Sometimes we need to remember that. Because sometimes we're in those moments where we're like, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for God, from God. With us, He has promised certain things. Something like peace. God has promised peace. In fact, not just any peace. He's promised a peace, catch this, that surpasses all understanding. With that statement, that peace just trumped everything in the world. It just outdid everything that we could ever come up with. And you go, well, you know, I've got peace. I can get my own peace. If I work real hard and get me a good nest egg, I will have peace. And my peace, man, that peace will carry me through life. Okay, let me ask you a question. Will that give you peace when a family member comes to you and says, something awful is about to happen or something awful is happening in my life, and you are helpless and you can't do anything to help them, will it give you peace then? It's not going to do anything for that. That kind of peace that surpasses all understanding only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to give you that peace. We talked last week about fears a little bit. Last week, more specifically, we talked about what it looks like for us to have a real relationship with Christ. And in seeking that, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. And we talked about those things. And if you weren't here and you need something to kind of help kickstart where you are with the Lord right now, go listen to the podcast. God doesn't want us to fear the things of this world. He wants us to rest in His peace. But instead, as we said last week, so many folks, so many Christians, are making decisions in their life based upon fears. Well, I fear this, so I'm going to do this. We do it in our personal lives. We do it in our professional lives. We do it spiritually at times. We do it in relationships with people. And here's Jesus, and He's just going, hey, ask and it'll be given to you. So the deal is, this isn't about us getting what we want. This is about God getting what He wants in our lives. So as we spend more time with Him in prayer, as we spend more time with Him in His Word, He changes our hearts. And as He changes our hearts, we begin to recognize what God really wants for us. He begins to convict our hearts. He shows us sin. And that gets messy sometimes. And when we begin to understand God's will for our life, when we begin to see what He may want to do versus what we've been wanting to do, the other thing that begins to happen is conviction. And in the conviction leads to, well, I think God is wanting me to do this over here, but if I do this over here, man, that may completely jack up my life because I had this plan, you know? And in my plan, you know, it was this. I'll tell you a telltale sign of when we stray away from God's will. When we start adopting other things that we know Scripture talks about as sin, and we try to make them okay for us, like we are some kind of exception to the rule. When we begin to do that, we have ridden off the rails and we are on our plan and not His plan. And it's so easily done for every one of us. We all do it at moments in our life. A lot of times we don't mean to be doing that, but that's kind of where we find ourselves. The truth is that us having a relationship with Jesus, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer is what is going to keep that from happening in our lives. Because I'll just tell you, you can't spend time with God in prayer for any major length of time if you're really conversing, if you're being wholehearted all the way in, believe, faith, the whole nine yards, and you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking and all these things. I can tell you right now, you won't be able to put those things out of your mind. God will be convicting your heart. He will want to change you from those things because He knows what's good for us. And see, what's good for us isn't always what we think is good for us. Like we think, well, my life would be so much better if I had this or I could do that or had that job or whatever it is. You know, if I had that relationship, you know. And the truth is that He knows. He knows what we don't know. And that's what's good for us. Asking is probably like the most obvious thing that some of us never do. One of the most obvious things that some of us never do. And I mean, it's insane when you really think about it. It's insane, you know, that the God of the universe, all-powerful, all-mightiful, sovereign over every single thing, is saying to us, hey, ask and you shall receive. I mean, imagine, imagine like going to a kingdom where there's a king and he rules over everything and he says, hey man, whatever you want, it's yours. If it's for your good, you can have it. That's what Jesus is saying. And yet we don't ask. Instead, what do? We just try to figure it out on our own. And we're great at that. And it doesn't ever turn out so great, does it? Why pray? Why pray? One of the reasons that we pray is so that our hearts would grow closer to Him, that we would be ready to receive the things that He wants us to have. Let me phrase that a different way. The truth is that a lot of times God doesn't answer prayers for us right away is because we're not ready for Him to. We're not ready for Him to. I think about this all the time with the church. I think about this all the time with the body of believers. You know, and everybody wants a church to grow, and they want to be a part of a church that's growing. And man, 24 has gotten to experience some amazing things over the years. One of the things that I've seen over the years is that when the people kind of give up or give out or they're tired or they burn out or whatever it is, and we don't have the people to minister to others in place, God doesn't bring more people. Because the church isn't ready. The people have to have their hearts right. The church has to have its heart right for God to bring more people that we might share the gospel, that we might love on them, that we might minister to them. Same thing is true for our own lives. Many times God doesn't answer a prayer because we're not ready to receive it. Many times it's through prayer that we do receive things like peace and protection, these things that are offered if we just ask, you know, that we see. You take fruits of the Spirit. If you go to the fruits of the Spirit and you see these things in Scripture that we've been promised that we could have, you know, those are things that we could ask for that they are good for us. We know that they're, and those are things like what we just talked about, like peace. He gives us what is good for us. And the thing that goes along with that is that He's wiser than us and He knows what's good for us when we don't. And it's hard for us to look at it that way because we just think, man, I know what I need. Just give it to me, God. I need that job. I need more money. I need this. I need that. I need a better car. I need a woman. I need a man, you know. Us spending time in prayer sets our hearts right. If we're praying biblically as we've been instructed, then we're praying, God, and this is huge for us, folks. God, Your will be done. You know what that means? That means that we take our hands off the wheel and we just say, you know what, God? I believe completely in You, that You know better than I, and that Your plan is better than any plan that I could come up with. Your will be done. You lead. You guide. You drive. Your will be done. I'll just tell you, listen, don't pray, God, Your will be done, unless you really mean it. Don't pray it unless you really mean it. You will find yourself in a mess that you'll go, this is messing up my plan. Listen, you got to be willing for God to slay that plan that you've come up with. The more we meditate on Scripture and spend time with God, the more He changes our hearts, the more likely we're going to be in a place where we look at God and go and say, God, Your will be done. And we mean it from our hearts. And we're ready for whatever God has for us. You may say, but Chris, He already knows. He already knows everything. Why would I spend time praying? James 5:16 says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That whole section, by the way, in James chapter 5, there's a section on faith and prayer and faith right there. I recommend if you just want something to read, that's a great place to start if you're thinking about your prayer life and where you are. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Do not kid yourself. Here's one of the things that happens. When we pray, it's not just that we would spend time with the Lord, but it's also that He would change us. And He does. If we spend time with Him, He changes us. He makes us new. He shows us things about ourselves. Sometimes things that we didn't want to know. Sometimes things that we've been wanting to ignore. But the truth is He knows what's good for us. And in knowing what's good for us, He doesn't want those things to go on. We have this picture of a parent in that passage from Matthew 7. And in that picture, we see a parent like what we would think of being a good parent who loves their children, being somebody that's giving, someone who is there, someone who wants to give what is good. Scripture teaches Luke 11 and 12 and other places in the gospel this idea of how much more God loves us as a father than even an earthly father ever could. And it's this reminder that it's something that's so much bigger than what we try to put like these earthly ideas on it sometimes, and we end up kind of dumbing God down a little bit, you know, or a whole lot sometimes, into trying to like make Him take the place of something that we understand here on earth. And He's saying and He's giving us throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels, how much more could I possibly love you being God and being good? There's a promise. The promise is this, that we'll be heard. Do you know that? That we'll be heard. You know, as much as we might want to meet someone in power, whether it be a president or a king or somebody else, or you know, even if we maybe don't even care for the positions or whatever that those people, you know, their opinions or whatever, if the president walked in here today, even if you didn't care for his opinions, you would go, you know what? It's pretty awesome to get to meet the president today. And for Him to look at us and say, hey, is there something, if there was one thing I could do, what could I do for you? What could I do to make your life better? And He was actually willing to make a change to make that happen. How amazing would that be? But yet we're passing that by every single day. We shall be heard. That's the promise. Christ is saying, even if you're shy, take your needs and concerns to God. Ask, seek, knock, be persistent. Jesus is saying, stay the course, remain faithful to trusting God. So what should we ask for? Well, that leads me to something. There's two kinds of prayers. Two things that we can be praying for. Get lumped under a couple of categories. And honestly, really, my eyes were open to this after reading through. I'm not done with it yet, but reading through this book on prayer that Tim Keller has written. And I highly recommend this book. I'm not through it, but I'll just go ahead and tell you it's the bee's knees. Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. If you look up Tim Keller in prayer, you'll find the book. If you want us to get you one, if we don't have them out there in the resources, let them know at the front desk, and I don't know what they cost, but we'll figure it out, and you know, we can order you one. But if you don't know how to use the internet, get one on your own. In the book, Tim Keller brings up something I think that's really important for us to realize. I don't think that we realize how we pray sometimes. If you go back to chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, you see Jesus teaching us how to pray. He teaches us how to pray. And if you'll notice, there's a couple of different things. We're praying for Him, for His glory, and for His kingdom. And then we're praying for our needs, you know? So you've got these two things: His kingdom, His glory, our needs. So when we go to God, we can pray for one or the other. But the truth is that in the instruction that we get through the Lord's Prayer is that we're to pray for both. It's a both and. It's not a one or the other. It's a both thing. And so for us, I think if we're just real honest with ourselves, how are we praying is a good question for us to ask. Because I think for some of us, we'd probably find, well, I'm just praying for the stuff that I need. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? And the truth is that when we spend time with God in prayer, praying for His will to be done, for His kingdom to be advanced, for Him to do a great work through His church, for Him to be glorified in this world. That's praying His kingdom stuff. And when we do that, here's what happens. Our heart begins to go there. Our heart begins to break and be for those same things. Then when we come to praying for our needs, all of a sudden we start looking at them a little differently, don't we? When we start looking at them through God's eyes, and when we're thinking about His kingdom, we start thinking about our needs. We go, maybe I don't need to pray for that. Maybe I don't need that. But maybe I need humility. Maybe I need peace, that I would trust in the Lord. Maybe I could ask for that. Those things glorify God. And see, here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is this, is that when we pray for those things in our life that are good for us spiritually, then suddenly God is glorified in us because others see the change that happens in our lives. And even if they don't see it, we have the opportunity to testify and tell others about what God has done in us when other people come to us and say, hey, I'm struggling with this and going through this thing. And you can say, hey, we need to pray. And they look at you funny and go, why in the world do we need to pray? And then you can go, look, this is what God's done in my life. And it's amazing. He is amazing. He is glorified in that. So what should we ask for? God's will to be done. Our needs. Things that will lead us to Him. Humility. Guidance. Things that maybe we don't need to do is to not demand and expect some kind of entitlement. Have some kind of entitlement mentality of, God, you owe me. Listen, God don't owe us jack, okay? God owes us zero. We owe Him our lives because He has given the life of His one and only Son to die on the cross that we might be forgiven. And not only did they kill Him, but He rose from the dead to defeat death on our behalf. We don't have to face death like someone that's an unbeliever. We should keep knocking. We should be persistent, just like the widow in Luke 18. Let me tell you about somebody that was persistent. This lady that I've known for a long time, I've known her as long as we've moved, since we moved here to Tennessee, when I was a kid, when I was about 12 years old, so about 25 years ago now. Now you're doing math in your head, figure out, hold on, whatever, I don't care, I'm 38. Just save you so you can pay attention. But 25 years ago, there was a lady that had been praying, and she was praying before we moved here. I'm telling you a story that she has told me several times over, and I'm probably going to botch parts of it, but I'm just giving you a nitty-gritty of it. And in what she has told me over the years now, she told me about how she prayed that God would send a little boy to be friends with her little boy. And that she had prayed and prayed and prayed for this to happen. I mean, she's very clear. This wasn't like a one-time prayer kind of thing. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I turned out to be the little boy. I'm just a dot on the map in this story, by the way. And so then she tells me that we became friends. His name's Jay. We became friends. And then later on in life, she told me again that their church needed a youth minister, and it needed to be somebody that could help bring peace, especially to some situations that were going on within that ministry, and she was praying especially for her daughter, that there would be someone to help bring some peace to some of that, because of some of the things that were going on in that time and in her life and in the lives of some of these other students. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would do this. And again, I'm just a dot on the map, but I was the dot on the map. I was that guy. I was the youth minister. Became the youth minister there. So here's this lady who's prayed and been faithful for years and years in her walk with the Lord and asking him to do something that God could be glorified in. Now, if you don't think that prayer doesn't have some kind of long-lasting, if God wouldn't answer a prayer that might have some kind of long-lasting effect on your life, let me finish the story. The lady's name is Kathy Watson. Kathy's son, Jay, and I, we grew up together. We were great friends growing up. Collected baseball cards a whole bit. And Jay's sister, Kathy's daughter, that she was praying for, is Rachel Watson Loxley, Nathan's wife, our worship pastor. I love, and I hope that you do this at times, I hope that you look back and see how God has ordained things in your life. Because I look back and what I see is not, you know, happened circumstance. I see God's provision. I see God's ordaining a plan when I was a kid that I just get to be a dot in the map for, of how he answered a prayer that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I would have ever met Nathan if I hadn't been Rachel's youth minister. And I won't get into the whole story as to why that is, but I don't know that I would have ever met him. And that in case I wouldn't have ever met Jenna or Matt. It's Matt, but you know, I'm saying, I'm kidding. You know, we love Matt. And Scott and their whole family, you know. So how much different would be a church with a different worship pastor, a different chairman of the deacons who just shared with you his heart a little while ago, missing these families? I mean, go the rabbit hole if you really want to. Jenna comes in and then she meets one of my best friends, Joey, and they get married. You know, I mean, it just goes and goes and goes. And I think that we miss the simplest thing in not asking. We can't miss that. God is too good for us to miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss what God wants to do. Glory to him for that story that I just told. That he could ordain and do something like that is amazing to me. Glory to him. Seek and you shall find. For some people, this will be the I just didn't get around to doing it in life thing. I'm encouraging you. Don't let this be the thing that you just don't get around to doing. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask. And it will be given to you. James 4:2 says this. It says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. So you quarrel, you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Prayer takes faith. Kathy had faith. She still has faith. Thankful for people like Kathy Watson in my life that have been able to share and testify to what God has done and to be faithful in seeking the Lord on my behalf when I didn't even know her. So where do we start? Well, you got to start with this. You got to know Jesus as your Savior. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you ever received him as your Savior? Because if not, I'm just telling you today, there is nothing in your life that could come between him saving you other than your belief. There is no sin so great that it wasn't it wasn't paid for with the blood of the cross. Jesus wants to save you. If you've never trusted in Him, if you never believed in Him with all your heart, I'm encouraging you today, let today be the day. If you want to talk to one of us afterwards, we'll be hanging out. We'd love to talk with you about that. That would be awesome. No pressure, just try to help you understand, answer questions. We'd love to pray for you, whatever. For the rest of us that already know Christ, we need to pray. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to find. I'm going to give us a time together to pray. If you will, just bow your heads with me for a moment. And I want to kind of lead you through a little bit of this.